In Nicaragua, the plummeting price of coffee has triggered a desperate situation for the people who tend and pick the beans. Put out of work, coffee pickers are being forced from their homes, and many say they're beginning to starve. NPR's Jerry Haddon reports from El Tuma La Dalia, Nicaragua.
Along the side of a two-lane road, 3 hours from Managua, dozens of hungry women, children, and men huddle under a blue plastic tarp. Some stand shoeless in the cold mud. These landless laborers have been expelled from the nearby coffee farms because the owners no longer have the money to pay or house them. Many of them can't fit under the tarp, their only protection from a relentless drizzle. 75-year-old coffee picker Domingo Rivera pulls a scrap of plastic over his shoulders and worries about his wife and 8 kids.
Because, as you know, this is a crisis because the owners aren't paying. The clothes we have are disintegrating. Soon we'll end up working naked. May they help us with food or clothes or something.
Beneath the tarp, mothers tend to their small children. 25-year-old Diora Radiera holds her 10-month-old baby girl, Marta, to her breast.
Things are really bad these days. We need food and there's no work. We don't get paid on payday. This little one is sick and she has a fever. I have a lung infection. Often we just sleep right here. There's just no reason for this.
This region of Nicaragua, called Matagalpa, produces most of the country's coffee. Here, some 18,000 people depend on the bean to survive. But these days, a bushel of coffee sells on the world market for just $50, down from $140 2 years ago. John Talbot is a sociology professor at Colby College and an expert on coffee. He says worldwide, 25 million people are being hurt by global overproduction of the bean.
For one thing, you have Vietnam, which about 10 years ago was really a marginal coffee producer, and now they're the second largest in the world behind Brazil. Several other countries have also increased their coffee exports because they're under some pressure from the World Bank so that they can make payments on their debts. There's a lot more coffee being produced now than there is demand, and so the price has fallen really low.
Here in Nicaragua, production costs are nearly twice the bean selling price now. The landless bean pickers are the first to suffer. A desperate delegation of several hundred have marched from El Tuma La Dalia to the capital to plead their case directly to the government. 45-year-old Reina Isabella Vanega made the walk all the way to Managua and is now camped in a city park. She says some people died en route from hunger and lack of medicine. She says she wants the government to step in and support the growers so they in turn can pay the field hands.
When the rich were paying us, we got $1.50 a day. It's not much, but now that we've been kicked out, we've walked the highway for a few days with our babies, and we want the government to give us some land, a house, and work.
So far, the government has not been able to offer assistance apart from some 800 jobs as urban street sweepers. With presidential elections slated for November, the issue is quickly becoming politicized. Ruling party candidate Enrique Bolaños and Sandinista comeback contender Daniel Ortega each blame the other for the crisis. But coffee crises are in fact cyclical. Coffee is a tree crop that takes years to begin yielding beans. When prices are high, farmers worldwide often rush to plant coffee. Years later, when their trees begin to bear beans, the glut causes prices to plummet. And because coffee growing requires such an investment of time, it's not an easy crop to abandon. Again, Professor Talbot.
It would require just pulling up the coffee trees that they probably took out loans in order to plant in the first place. So it's not an easy thing to do, to switch out of coffee. And actually what we're going to be seeing in a number of countries is people just losing their land. That's how production is going to decrease over the next few years.
International coffee production used to be regulated via agreements between producing and buying countries. Such accords took the edge off the violent swings in price. Without regulation today, individual countries are trying to diversify crops and produce high-quality organic coffee, but so far with limited success. Jerry Haddon, NPR News, El Tuma La Dalia, Nicaragua.